going back at least to the Roman practice of humiliating vanquished chiefs by leading them through Roman chains, humiliation has long been used to connote inferiority, and for the victim, it becomes a cause for seeking revenge. Israeli journalist Uri Ner, who is also a peace activist, says the so-called politics of humiliation is a factor in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Humiliation essentially involves an event that demonstrates unequal power in the relationship. And often this painful experience is remembered for a long time. In the case of Israelis and Palestinians, on the Israeli side, we're obviously dealing with the Jewish Holocaust of World War II. And on the Palestinian side, with the Palestinian catastrophe, what the Palestinians call the Nakba of 1948.
Uri Ner says what compounds the tangled roots of humiliation in that relationship is that the two are connected, at least on the level of perception. On the Palestinian side, he suggests that the ruin of numerous Palestinian communities and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in 1948 was the result of what many Israelis see as their revenge over the humiliation they suffered by the Nazis. However, this explanation does not define the entire dynamic of the conflict, and critics say it is an oversimplification. But Uri Ner says we are dealing with crude, ugly gut feelings, which not only drive the outbursts of individuals, but also the collective behavior of large segments within certain societies.
Looking back at Jewish history, it goes much farther back than the Holocaust. The Holocaust, however, in terms of the Israeli ethos, is the culmination of the humiliation that Jews suffered in the diaspora.
Uri Ner suggests that what happened since the First Intifada, and especially in recent years, led to what he calls a spiraling dynamic of humiliation and revenge, which makes the resolution of the conflict more difficult. Take the question of the so-called right of return, which he says is a pivotal concept in both Israeli and Palestinian societies.
Many Palestinians will tell you that they know full well that their insistence upon the right of return to Israel, thus remedying the initial sin, they would say, of the 1948 war when they were displaced, they know quite well would never actually be realized in practice. However, some kind of a recognition by Israel that harm was done could go a very long way toward finding even a modicum of resolution.
Matthias Rube, Washington bureau chief of the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, says many Germans see a historical parallel in their humiliation under the terms of the Versailles Treaty after their defeat in World War I. But Matthias Rube says it is not automatic that in times of humiliation, people will turn to nationalism as the Germans did, which contributed to the rise of Nazism. Mr. Rube says more ingredients need to be present, as they were at the end of World War I.
If you dwell on the past, and if you're really looking for scapegoats, and you have irresponsible leaders, then you have all the ingredients to prepare for another catastrophe.
In another conflict, Matthias Rube suggests that Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic used a historical event, the 14th century defeat by the Ottoman Sultan, to justify decisions leading to the disintegration of the former Yugoslavia. But Liliana Smilovic, editor-in-chief of Politica in Belgrade, takes issue with the idea of applying that humiliating defeat to the national identity of modern Serbia.
I am personally very uncomfortable with this notion that Serbs, unlike other nations, are obsessed with defeat, and they have turned defeat in the Battle of Kosovo into their main collective memory, and that in this way they are a nation particularly prone to the sense of grievance and whining over what they've lost. I think that Serbia's bitterness of the way it has been treated by its Western friends is not a signal of the ultra-nationalist feelings of its population, but the result of the fact that Serbia really has received a raw deal.
Our guests agree with scholars on the subject that the risks inherent in the politics of humiliation heavily outweigh the probable benefit. They note that the cure for this ploy requires two things, humility and mutual respect. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.